This morning is week number one of a four-part series that we call You Asked For It. And so if I could go back to that survey one more time, that top question, what is a message you'd like to hear about? Today is your day, all right? We went through all of those different responses this week. I looked through all of them. Like I said, we got close to 200, and we took your top four responses. And so I told you last week, this is not because we ran out of things to talk about, all right? This is not because I just thought, man, it's only, you know, it's only April, and I don't have anything for the rest of the year, so maybe you have something that we could talk about. But this is something that Jesus did in his ministry, where he would respond to questions that he got from the crowd or from the disciples, where they would say, teach us about this, teach us to pray, teach us for this. And he would respond to that with a message. And so that's not saying that I'm about to give you my opinion on these top four things, or I'm going to give you, you know, what I've learned in all my vast years about these four things that you wanted to hear. We're going to the Word of God to see what he has to say about the things that you want to know about, because you asked for it. And so we took the top four, and they kind of surprised me this year. You had a couple of the ones that you always ask every year that we've done this series, but there were some that snuck in there. And so you'll see as we go through this. So we're going to do 2 weeks and then take a break for Mother's Day and then have two more weeks to finish up the series. And so these are just the top four responses that we got back from you on the list. A lot of great ones that we're going to go through. And I would encourage you this morning, if you haven't, you know, had the app bashed down your head too many times today, I would encourage you, we have the notes for the message in the app. So if you like to take notes, you like to write them down, continue. I'm not going to take your pen away from you, but we also have them in the app where you can just click on the message today and it just fill in the blank. So if you say, well, I can't write all those notes, you go too fast, you go too slow, you go too, whatever it is. If you say that, you can just fill in the blanks on the app. They're there. And there's actually a cheat button. If you miss one of the notes, you just press a button and it fills it in for you. So I didn't tell you that. All right. Write down the notes. Pay attention. You want to do it. But today is step one, or today is the first topic in the number one spot. And it's the same question that you've asked in a different way for probably the last 3 years during this series. But it hasn't been at the top every time, all right? It hasn't been. But this time, overwhelmingly, it was at the top. And it is the question of, my anxiety is at a breaking point, or I am at a breaking point. Help me with my stress. Help me with the stress of my life. And that was the number one topic that you guys asked for. So the reason why you're asking it, I believe, is that while we might apply the principles from last year or the year before, while we might apply those principles, Earth is weighing on you more. Every year, Earth is weighing on you more and more. It's doing more. It's requiring more. It's straining you more. In fact, I saw a study where we are, as a generation, we are going to work 181 hours more per year than the generation before. That's a whole extra month that we're going to work in a 12-month period than the generation before us. So we're working that. So there was another study a little farther down in that, it said that all mothers surveyed, that 80% of them said that they are stressed out to the point of a breakdown. Come on, somebody. Who are these other 20% that are not, right? That's what you're asking this. And then 70% of those mothers that were surveyed said that they were lack sleep in enormous amounts, that they were overworked and they lacked sleep and they had their stress. So there was 10%, if you're reading the statistics, right, there's 10%, right, that are stressed out, but they're getting enough sleep. So I don't know who those 10% are. The truth is, though, that when people ask this question, the truth is when people ask questions like this about my anxiety, about my stress, is that they're hoping for a coping mechanism. They're hoping for, well, help me to cope, preach a message where I want to keep the same lifestyle that I have, but help me cope with it. Bring me stress relief. Give me principles that will give me stress relief in the life that I have. But here's the thought I want to start off with today. And that is, until we change something about our lives, until we change something fundamental about our lives, we will only ever cope. And it actually won't help you at all. It'll actually destroy your life, because if you only cope with it, it's only temporary. It's not sustainable. The truth is, and the message, here's the whole message and bottom line is, it's too much. It will never all fit. And so if I just give you the, I'll give you the main point just right here. You asked for it. It won't ever all fit in our lives, because you can't get the things you truly care about done with all the other stuff that we've added to our lives. It simply doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. And what time management attempts to do, and all these steps towards time management, attempts to say, well, here is my life, make it all fit. And that's not what I'm going to do this morning. That's not the truth in the message. This is the whole message in one phrase. It's too much. It's not going to fit. And what it's producing in our lives is this feeling of stress and of tension. It's producing this feeling of tension that's the cause of all the arguments. It's the cause of all the fights in your life. It's the reason why we're losing so much sleep. And it might be doable, but it's not sustainable. It might be doable for a short time. It's not sustainable, and it will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. So here's a sentiment I think a lot of us can identify with. It's out of the book of Job. And here it is. It says, my days go by faster than a runner. All right, so keep that in your mind. That's the metaphor I want to come back to today about a runner. And I'm not bashing running. I already apologize for that, all right, everybody. I did that a couple of months ago. I'm not bashing. I just want to use that metaphor today throughout the message. In other words, he's saying, I'm running all over the place. I'm going in every direction, right? And my days are flying by without my seeing any joy. So I'm going in every direction, and the physical activities that I'm involved in are taking a toll on the soul and the condition of my life. Job is saying, so I'm doing it, but am I ever messed up on the inside. And I say this, you asked for it because I've read your cards and I read the different, some of you put specific situations that you were walking through, specific things. And Job is saying, I'm going in all these different directions and my days are flying by and I'm not seeing any joy in them. I'm pushing myself. And so I'm doing it, but I'm messed up. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because I don't think I've ever preached specifically on this truth today. And so we're going to need a little bit of help here. We're actually going to need God's help if we're ever going to change our lives. We're going to make it through this and change ourselves for the better. We're going to implement it. So this question to get us started, then why are we so busy? If that's what's ruining, if we're going in every direction, why are we so busy? Let's talk about why we are. We understand that. I think we can fix it, all right? And so the first one that I believe that we're busy is we have too many choices. Too many choices available to us. So life was a whole lot simpler when there were 3 channels instead of 600 channels, right? Life was much simpler. And that actually nowadays, the trend is to get rid of the 600 and just have streaming services. Cut the cord, right? That's the trend. Except the cable companies figured that out. And now there's 300 different streaming services that you can pay $9 a month for. So it's just a cycle that goes on. We have too many choices. We go 1 mile, right? You'll experience this afternoon. 1 mile of road. You got 30 restaurants. We got 25 social medias that you can be a part of. You got everything that's pulling. You got too many choices, too many things weighing on you. Here's another reason. That is too much social pressure. So that is, we're not living the life that we want to live. We're living the life that everybody else wants us to live. We're living the lives that everybody else puts that pressure on us to live. And so we're living the life that our school system wants us to live. We're living the life that our social media wants us to live. We're living the life even sometimes that our church wants us to live. Because I'll tell you, we fight for, right? This is one of the things we strive for around here, is simplicity in the things that we do, because sometimes it is too much. Can you say that in church sometimes? Sometimes it is too much that gets laid on people, and we forget about the truth of the gospel, and we have so many other things going on, and it becomes too much, and we have those pressures on us. You can't do everything, everybody. You can't. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that. You can't do everything, and everybody has a plan for your life. Everybody, I don't know if you know that or not. The credit card company has a plan for your life, all right, everybody? They have a plan that they want to live out of. Your employer has a plan for your life. They all have a plan. The other reason that we're busy, we believe that we can have it all. And this is probably for the younger generation, because we have grown up now knowing that we can have what we want, and we want it now. And we can get what we want in fast food and fast things. We can get what we want it now. And so we have a whole generation that is spending, they say, 117% of their income. Well, you don't have to have a math degree to realize that you can't sustain that, right? You can't. There are governments who try to sustain that, but you can't sustain that in your own life. They're spending 117% because we want it all and we want to have it now. We believe this. And so that's what's causing us to have this stress and have this busyness in our lives. And then finally, last one, nor can we believe that we can do it all. And this one goes for everybody. Some of you are overestimating your abilities and it's catching up to you. And it's going to cost you in the areas that you care about the most, in your families, in your relationships. It's going to cost you in those areas, even in your health, in your physical health. Because you believe this lie that you can do it all, and you can't. So what do we do about it? Well, what I'm not going to give you today is a way to cope. All right, I decided that from the beginning of this message. I'm going to give you a way that you can deal with it, but I'm not going to give you a way to cope. I'm not going to give you a way for your life to stay the same, because honestly, a lot of us, our lives need to change. Honestly, a lot of us, our lives need to change. So I'm going to give you 2 things today. The first one is 2 lists today that we're going to kind of move quickly through. The first one is the principles of what you have to believe. Because you can't have great actions unless you have a belief system you've already bought into, all right? You can't have great practices in your life unless you had that principles. And then you can't have great principles unless you put it into practice, all right? You can't have one without the other. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. And so you need a belief system. You need something to build your life on. And then you need a way to apply it. All right, you got to have something that's going to work even right after this sermon or right after this week. You need something that's going to, you can put into practice in your life. So I'm going to give you both of those. And so the first one I'm going to give you are the principles. These are just simple things that you have to believe in order to work this out in your life. You have to have these principles. So I'm calling it, and this is out of God's word, I'm calling it a better life. That God is calling you to a better life. So let me start there. Write this down if you're taking notes. And the first one that you got to believe, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. It's better to have less of it. In other words, we have to reduce our life down. And if I can be as because you asked for it, if I can be as frank as possible, we have to reduce our lives down. So in order for me to actually do what matters, I have to believe that it's better sometimes to have less. And the problem is, a whole lot of us don't believe that. We don't believe that it's better to have less in anything. But we have to believe that. And I'll show it to you, right? And let's just do a little give and take here. If $1 is good, $2 is better, right? All right, come on, wake up somebody. Work and talk with me here, all right? If $1 is good, $2 is better, right? All right, if one Krispy Kreme donut is good, two Krispy Kreme donuts are better. All right, you guys like that. Somewhere over here, you guys like it. If one car is good, two cars are better. If one kid is good, two kids are little hesitations. What's this? Some of you are like, I'm not getting trapped in that. No, sir, you're not. What's the hesitation this morning? I don't know. Whatever. All right. If one wife is good, two wives is wrong, everybody. All right. Don't you even go there. All right. That's not good at all. Where's my peanut gallery this morning? All right. A pastor was in seminary. He's heading towards the ministry. And he asked his professor, why did Solomon have so many wives? And the professor said, well, it was in the hope that when he got home from work, that at least one of them would be happy to see him. All right, somebody. So, no, we can't say that in church. We can't. Ladies, we love you. We're moving on. All right, ladies. One at a time. We love you. All right. But I'll show you that we have a lot of more going on. That we believe that more. All right, I'm just going to read you a few statistics that I pulled that shows we have a lot of more going on, not a lot of less. And so here we go. You will eat out 14,411 times if you're an average American in your lifetime, including 1,811 trips to McDonald's. That's not better. All right, everybody? It's not better. All right. You will spend 13 years and 4 months watching television. I don't have enough time in my life. Yes, you do. You do have enough time. You're just putting it in the wrong places. All right, everybody. You will spend 5 years waiting in line. Come on, somebody. That's just right there. You will spend 5 years waiting. And somebody said, I spent that at Walmart last year, right? Last year alone. All right. You will spend 1 year looking for items that you lost. I spent 1 year looking for the last thing I lost. I don't know, you know, I used up my quota in 1 year. All right, we will attend 35 weddings, and you will drive 627,000 miles in your lifetime. That's 25 times around the globe. You have the time, everybody. It's just going in the wrong places. You've got the time in your life, and you say, let me show you what the Bible says here in this one. It says it's better to have one handful. Well, yeah, but I've got two hands. We say, well, I've got two. It's better, the Bible says, to have one handful with this thing that everybody that you asked for, that everybody's asking for, that some people have. One handful of peace, of tranquility. It's better to have that because I need that in my life than it is to have two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. It's better to have one handful full of peace, and that's what you asked for, than it is to have both hands full of I'm going crazy and I'm at my wit's end and I'm about to break down because I've got both hands full of toil. And it's better to have one handful. So this is a belief system you have to buy into, that we don't live according to everything that's available to us. We don't live according to everything that we have. We live with some margin. We live with a little bit of margin. We have some breathing room, and you've got to believe that. The second thing you've got to believe is that it's better to live by design, not by default. It's better to live our lives by define. I told you I was going to talk about this running metaphor where it says all my days are going faster than a runner. The real problem is we were designed to run. We were designed to live our lives to run this race, but not in every single direction at the same time. We weren't designed to do that. Let me give you the analogy. And that is, if you only have a finite amount of energy and you've got all these arrows going in every different direction, none of those arrows are going to get very far because you're trying to put your energy into every direction around you. You're trying to use up all that energy. You have no way of knowing which way you're actually headed. No way of knowing what your design is. You're living by default. And none of those arrows are ever going to get very far. Let me say it this way. If all of the players on a football team thought the end zone was in a different direction, you would have chaos on the field. If they all thought, well, I know where the direction, if they all went in a different direction, you spend all your energy going in every single direction. But if you find out your design, if you discover what you were designed to do, then you can go further, farther, better, faster, higher, because you put your energy in the right place. We were designed to run, but not in every different direction. And so we aim it all at what we were designed. We know what that race is. We know what that lane is that we're supposed to run in. We know what that is. And unfortunately, people who don't know God never discover what that is because they haven't met the creator of their lives. The one who wrote the book, wrote the manual on your life. And oftentimes, even Christians, 9 times out of 10, don't even discover what that calling is or what that design is. Just go through life just not knowing. And that should be a reason to become a Christian all by itself. That you get to connect with the God who created you, who created the book on your life, and who can tell you what your design is. That's why we're so passionate here at Victory, that we can help you understand what your design is. Next week, the Discovery class starts, and it's just step one right after service. It's just 3 Sundays, not every Sunday for the rest of your life. It's just 3 Sundays. Give me 3 Sundays, and we can help you discover what your design is, and you can start to live in that purpose. You can start to live how God designed me, how God created me. You start to understand how the maker of your life designed you. And he ordained your days. All of your days he ordained. And what happens is now you know those days have been ordained. I want to show you in the verse. And this is if you don't set the priorities. But the verse after this one in Psalms. He says, an intelligent person aims at wise action. But a fool starts off in many directions. That's the arrows I was talking about. We need to know what those days are that he's ordained. You need to know what those days are. The psalmist said, you've ordained my days. Teach me to know them and to number them and to know what those days are. Because you are ordained, whether you know it or not, right? God has set apart days of your life. He's laid hands on them. And so it's better to figure out what those are and then to live them out by design, not by default. Here's the third truth. And that is, it's better to get right things done, not more things done. It's better to get the right things done, not more things. So I'm going to live my life, and I'm not in the fill in the blank notes, but I'm going to start to live my life intentionally. I'm going to start to live my life intentionally, with intention in the way that I live. First of all, I believe that I can be a one-handed type of person, one hand with peace instead of two hand with everything else. Second, I believe that I have a design. I'm set apart from God to do something. And then third, I can start to implement it and to rate my life by getting the right things done, not more things done. Don't you think it's time that we stop measuring the effect or measuring our lives based on how many things we can get done? Like it's a badge of honor to say, well, I'm just so busy all the time. We shouldn't measure our life by the amount of things, but by how many right things that we're doing. That's how you begin to measure your life. Bible says, the verse, it said an intelligent person, right, aims at the path. An intelligent person, but a fool has arrows that go in every direction. A fool has arrows that do. So what do we do? Well, we have to believe the principles, and now we have to put them into practice. We have to believe the principles, and that's what I love about my job, by the way. I told you last week, I don't enjoy preaching where I just tell you all these things that need to change about your life and then never tell you how to do it. The Bible is very clear about how to do it. And so that's what I want to do this morning, just practical Christianity, sermons that can work on Monday, sermons that can start to work right after the sermon today, that you can start to put this into practice in your own life. So the next part is just to give you the practical Christianity of it. So I want to show you the verse out of Hebrews. And it said, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangled. By the way, this is not talking about the evil, dark, very easily recognizable sin. This is talking about anything that hinders us from following Christ. Anything that we've got in our lives that are hindering us from running this race. He said, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to run in every different direction. I'm not going to let the sin entangle me. But let us run. Here's the metaphor again. Let us run with perseverance my race. The race set out for us. And by the way, you have one. You have a race set out for you by your creator to run. But we've got to throw off all this other stuff that entangles us. All this other stuff that holds us back. And it will never make sense until we connect with the God who wrote the book about us. So how? I want to give you just the practical message of this, and probably nobody disagrees with anything I've said so far. Probably everybody agrees that these are things that we need to do in our lives. These are beliefs we have to have about doing the right things, about not having toil in this thing and having tranquility and peace in one hand. Everybody agrees with the truth about that. The problem comes in when we put it into practice. Problem comes in when it comes down to, okay, then what do we do? Because that's the hard part. How do we live that out in our own lives? Because that's the difficult part. The first one is, and that is with regularity, take inventory. With regularity, you need to take inventory. By the way, let me just give you a truth about today, about a church day, Sunday, right? Because a church day set apart in the week is not just a day that you go an hour to church and then go home. That's not what a church day, or a Sabbath, as the Bible calls it. A church day is the day that we reflect and we connect with God and we declare him as God. That's why we put it at the first day of the week. We exalt him, but it really shouldn't be something you just come for an hour and then go. It should be something you do all day. And one thing I would encourage you to add to your Sabbath day, to add to your church day of the week, one thing I would just encourage you to do is I would love for you to put this to the test, maybe even after church today, is find 15 minutes, all right? 15 minutes alone, and in some cases with your spouse, in some cases, and just ask yourself a very simple question, all right? And that is, am I in the right activities? Am I in the right activities? Or are we in the right activities? Just ask yourself that question, because there has to be a time regularly that you evaluate. There has to be a time that you take evaluation of your life. And so make it part of your church day. Take 15 minutes to say, am I in the right activities? And I think we do this from time to time. I don't think we do it with any regularity. I think sometimes we do it when we're at a funeral where maybe a loved one has stepped into eternity. And sometimes when it happens unexpectedly, we're sitting in that meeting and we're thinking, okay, how am I living my life? And we reflect on that. And we think, how am I living? And as sad and as tragic as those events are, what I'm saying is it's healthy to have these times built into your life already, these times of evaluation. Don't wait for those events where you say, okay, am I in the right activity? And here's the prayer, the verse that I want you to pray when you do this. Out of Psalms 39, it says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. And so let me just tell you this morning, all right, that it just, I don't want to like bring the mood down on this, but you have a very brief time on this earth. All right. I just don't know if anyone's ever told you that. We can be truthful with each other, right? He's saying, remind me my time on earth will be brief. Remind me my days are numbered. So not to be morbid and not to bring down the mood of the room, but just to tell you guys, you're going to die. You're going to die. Somebody's like, ooh, that's my verse, right? I claim that for my, nobody's favorite verse here, right? But you are going to die. You have a death date. Hebrews 9 says that it's appointed unto men once to die, then face the judgment. I mean, it's your destiny. Well, we only have a few more left in light of eternity. We only have a few more days. So remind me my days are numbered, that there is a number of your days and you're one less than yesterday. And so what we need to do, instead of that letting us get depressed or letting us get down, we need to take evaluation. How am I using those days? We need to evaluate, how am I in the right activities? And then if you can realize that your life is no longer than the width of your hand, you can realize James says your life is a mist. It's a vapor. It's here one day, gone the next. That's what the Bible says. In light of eternity, that's what men's lives are. So what do we do about that? We have to have some evaluation. We have to evaluate what we're doing with those days that we've been given. Because you asked for it, right? You asked, how do I do this? This is the way that you get rid of you start to have evaluation. And so I just put a few together, reading your cards and then studying a little bit more on this. I just put a few. This is not an all-inclusive list, but just for you to have a starting point to start to evaluate. And so we're going to put them up here on the screen just to have a starting point of things that you can begin to evaluate in those 15 minutes. You start to look at the parts of your life. So then you say, well, how's my faith life? How's my relationship with God? How's my marriage? How's my family, my work, my job, technology? How am I doing in this area? Ministry. And by the way, you all have a ministry. It's what God has called you to do. Social life, attitude, finances, creativity. Am I creating my physical life? Am I getting enough exercise? Am I doing? Am I taking care of? If you started to evaluate, then one sentence on how you're going to make it better. One sentence on how God has called you to make. If you did this every month, think how much better your life would be. If you start to evaluate, am I in the right things? Is everything pointed towards, in light of eternity, is everything pointed towards it? Is it work? Yeah, it's work. But it's worth it. It's worth it to have. And then the second thing that you've got to do, write it down if you're taking notes, is you got to make some tough decisions. So after you've had that time of evaluation, you got to make tough decisions. This is where a lot of us fall off, because a lot of us, we're too concerned with people liking us than making the right decisions for our own lives. We're too people oriented to make those tough decisions for our own lives. The truth is, it's going to require you in this step to eliminate some things that you're doing, maybe even some things that you love, but you've got to eliminate them because you've taken evaluation. You've looked at these things. And you say, that's not mission critical. That's not this. So it's got to go. It's what's causing all of these things in my life. And so after you've evaluated, you've got to make tough decisions and start to eliminate things. I'm letting go of that thing. And you ready for this? All of us have one of these. All of us have an area like this. All of us have one of these areas that have to be eliminated. All of us have something that it would be better if we could just let go of one hand, keep the one hand of peace. All of us have some area in our lives. And I've got to just decide in my own life that, okay, that thing is not good for me. That thing, and you can only do it in your own life. You have your own time of evaluation. I'm not going to come sit in your house and point out things and say, that's got to go, that's got to go. This is something you've got to do in your own life. You've got to make the tough decisions. And there's something I want to just encourage you to do. I wasn't going to say this, but just to encourage you. And that is, if you'll learn to say no to some things, you will trade popularity for respect. If you learn to say no to things, you will trade popularity for respect. You've got to learn to say no in your life to some things. All right, it's just a truth you've got to do. The Bible says this, not only should we be taught, Lord, teach us to number our days, but here's the key verse, help us to spend them as we should. So help us then when we get rid of those things, help us to spend them. I need help because, God, it's easier to say yes to just everybody and everything in my life. It's easier just to say yes, but if you want peace in your life, if you want peace in your life, you got to learn to eliminate some things. It won't all fit. And so that's the truth. Are you out there, everybody, this morning? Right? I have two choices when I bring a message, especially during the You Ask For It series. I can say a lot of things that you'll like, and then I can say a lot of things that will help you. All right? And sometimes those two don't line up. So just deal with it this morning, all right? That's what we're just going to do. But you have to eliminate some things. And it's going to be uncomfortable to implement them. But I promise you, these will save your life. You asked for peace. This is how you get it. You asked for help from your anxiety. This is how you get it. So you have a time of evaluation. You have a time of elimination. And then you got to have a time of implementation. You got to have a time where you start to do it. You have to have a time where you start to do things. And this is where your life will be best. And the third point is that then you focus on what matters most. So you've evaluated and then you've eliminated the things that don't matter in your life. And then you focus on what matters most. There's nothing wrong with things and doing some things that don't matter. I do things that don't matter. I just don't do them first. It's okay to have things that you just enjoy doing just for the thing, but we don't do them first. They don't take a priority in our life. And the beauty of this statement is then that I'm going to begin to live my life on purpose. I'm going to begin to live my life and do things on purpose. Now, when you're a Christian, you're able to do it at a whole nother level because you've connected with the God who designed you. You've connected with the God. And I love this. Jesus encouraged this, by the way, in Matthew 6. You know, Jesus only preached one sermon. You can go and read it in Matthew 6. He only preached one sermon on your stress and on your worry. You can read it. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and then the Sermon on the Mount. One sermon about worry and stress and worry. And you need to focus, Jesus said, on what matters most. He said, you need to focus, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus said, you worry and you stress and you worry and you stress, but you're not seeking first what actually matters. You're not seeking first what actually matters. So find some things that we're going to do first. So here's the question as we close today, and that is then, what matters? So we've come through the progression. If we've evaluated, we've eliminated, and now we want to implement, we want to do it. And we want to do things that matter, then what matters? Because at the end of the day, some of the things that we're throwing money at and some of the things that we're anxious about and some of the things that are causing you stress and this fight and all these things in our lives really don't matter. They really don't matter. And if you took evaluation of your life, you'd probably agree that about 90% of it probably doesn't matter. And it's these things that are causing all this stress buildup in your life. So then what matters? So I just want to give you three things this morning, the three things that matter, that actually matter, and you can implement this into your life. The first one is God. God matters. And if you agree with me at the judgment day, you'll thank me. But if you don't agree, you'll look across that throne room of God and you'll find out that I was right, that God matters, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God matters. And there's going to be a day, it says, where your life will be required of you and you'll give an account for everything that you've done. You'll stand before the God who created you and you will realize, whether you believe it now or not, it doesn't change it. You will realize that God matters, that God is first in our lives. Because there's a day, Jesus told us about this in Luke. He talked about this. He was talking to a bunch of people who had gathered around him, and there were some rich people there. And he was talking about how we don't store up treasures on earth and how that's not what matters and how we store treasure in heaven. And then he tells a story about a man who didn't believe that, who thought that treasure is on earth, and I'm going to get as much as I can, as fast as I can, and I'm going to store up more barns and build bigger things. And Jesus talks about how God responds to them. And he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus trying to tell them, and he said, well, this man wasn't convinced. And then he goes on, and God responds to that man who built more barns and said, I need to get more things and more things. And he said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you prepared for yourself? In other words, you can't take it with you. He said, you're worried and you're anxious and you let your life get destroyed by all these things that you're trying to heap up, but you're not taking it with you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then he makes this statement. And I want you to get this. If you have to write it down or put it on your dashboard, whatever you got to do, I want you to get this into your life. He said, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is how it's going to be. So he's not even focusing on the stuff part of it. He said that doesn't enter the equation. Be rich toward God. All that other stuff is going to burn. Be rich toward God. Store up treasures in heaven. We got to remind ourselves. And so I want to encourage you today, be rich toward God. But the most important thing in your whole life is not only that you have God on your list, but that he's at the top of your list. He's at the top of your list. Let me put it this way. If he's not at the top of your list, he's not on your list. Because God will only operate, he will only occupy one part in your life, and that's at the top. He will only be in control. He's not going to come into your life and just be third, fourth, fifth on the list. And for a lot of us, if we're honest, we've let God slip. And I'm telling you, if he's moved out of first place, he's not in your life. It's not something that just comes. God says, I'm going to take complete control. And so for those who have said, Jesus, be my Lord, they're the ones who are saved. Not the ones that necessarily go to church every Sunday, not the ones who sing the right song or the ones who have 10 different Bibles in 10 different places. Those are all good things to do. But the ones who have said, Jesus, be my Lord, and he's in control of our lives. Those are the ones that have given complete control, that have God at the top. And so I want to encourage you today, when you take that evaluation, when you take that this time of implementation, always watch that list and say, okay, God, you have control. God, you're at the top of my list. Paul said it this way. Paul said it in Philippians. He said, but whatever were gains to me. So all this other stuff that I like, football, cars, boats, whatever it is that were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So I've said, Jesus, you be in control of my life. And I now consider it loss. In fact, he said, what is more, I consider everything a loss. Everything that I've heaped up because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. So I consider, and then he said, I consider it garbage. I consider it trash, all of these things other than knowing Jesus as my Lord. So it's better than everything else in my life that I've tried to go after, that he's better. He's better than everything that I may gain Christ. So he's saying it's better than anything that I've tried to do. And I'm telling you this morning, he's better. If you ever let yourself just go all in and just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, you will discover that he is better. He's better than the two handfuls of whatever it is that you're trying to hold on to. He's better. And if you ever give that over to him, you'll discover this as well. He's better, everybody. Amen. He's better. He's better. He's better. He's the second thing that absolutely matters. And it matters because it's the only thing that's going to show up in heaven. And that is that people matter. That people matter. So everything else burns. People live forever. All the earth and all the possessions on it are going to burn one day. People live forever. So people matter. That's why we have a church. It's not so focused around a Sunday morning service. Praise God for Sunday morning services. We enjoy them, but we're focused around relationships. I've told you this before, right? We're focused around relationships. Let me say it this way. Relationships are the most impactful part of your life. And I can prove it to you, all right? Because you can't name the last five sermons you heard me preach. And they were fantastic, everybody, all right? I'll just tell you right now. But you can tell me the 10 people who impacted your life the most, for good or for bad, because you are the sum total of your relationships. You are the sum total. And so we focus on that. That's what life is about. It's about our relationships. And so the Bible says the whole law, and this is Paul talking in Galatians, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as yourself. And so we focus on people. Told you we're not so focused about a Sunday morning. We're a church of groups. That's why we're so excited about our small groups. When we kick those off, and we're doing another semester next month kicking off, you can get in a group, chance to just start anew. We're so excited about those because it's a chance to get together in relationships and to know somebody. To know somebody who can walk with you through things. To get connected with people because people matter. God matters. People matter. Relationships are the most impactful part. I'm encouraging you because the person, I want to show you this in the verse, because the person standing alone, if you bite and devour, it's the verse right before this one. Watch out, you'll be destroyed by each other. But he says in verse 14, he says that a person, one person standing alone will be attacked. And I wish I could change that, but I can't, right? If you stand alone, you will be attacked, but two together can repel. Two together are stronger. Two together can protect one another. And then it even says, if a threefold or a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And so he says, if you stand together and then you're three together, it says that you cannot be easily broken. So that's what we designed this church around. That you would be in groups, you would stand together, protecting one another. Small groups are not a time you go and you just spill your guts, and then you hear about it from another group because someone went and told everything that you decided. No, we protect one another. We protect one another. We have each other's backs. And so this is a chance to connect because people matter. Relationships matter. All right, and then the last one this morning. God matters, people matters. People matter. And then the final point this morning, all right? And I'm going to give you the verse before I give you the point, because I know you this morning, all right? I know you. I give you that last point, and you're, honey, you get the kids, I'll get the car, all right? We're out of, I'm going to wait a little bit before I give you. I'll give you the verse first. In fact, I was tempted one time to have a sermon where I didn't fill in the last blank, all right? I just let it kind of hang out there. Some of you be sitting here for weeks, like, we'll do that later, all right, if you see that next week. But I'll give you the verse first, and it says, and this is, next one, this is a triple braided cord. And it says, this is Jesus talking to the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, we have designed our church. I've designed my life around this verse. We've designed our church around this verse. And watch, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, it wasn't his field. And so he dug a hole and he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went. It wasn't his treasure. It wasn't his field. So in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. And he bought the field. So this is Jesus. If this is the kingdom of heaven, then what is the field? If there's something that could give you such a return on your investment, such a return, it's what we should be going after, selling everything else, then what is the field? And it's very simple. It's anything that's eternal, because eternity matters. It's anything that's eternal because eternity matters. That's why we should give all we can give, serve all we can serve, live all we can live, do all we can do, putting aside all those other things. Throwing aside everything else that doesn't matter, all this other stuff on earth, not worrying about the stuff that's going to burn anyways, and putting our focus on what actually matters, on the eternal. So let's direct all the finances of this church, all the energy of this church, everything that we've got to getting as many people saved as possible, as many things, as many treasures into heaven as we possibly can, because eternity matters. Amen, everybody? Bow your heads with me this morning. I just want to pray over you today. I just need to pray over you. Before we go any further, I just want to pray over you, because we have these things that are weighing down on us. And just from reading your cards, we have these things that are breaking us down, things that are weighing down on us. So I just want to pray over you this morning. If you want to, just receive it. So Father, we pray for some of us, Lord, it's critical. God, that we're on the brink of, we can't take it anymore. We're on the brink of, we're about to be at our breaking point. That we try to do too much. We try to buy too much. We try to pressure too much. Society is just weighing on us, Lord. It's killing us. And so, God, I pray right now that you said if we would come to you, you would give rest for our souls. God, that we could become one hand type of people who hold on to peace rather than two hands of toil. So, Lord, we pray right now, God, I pray over every person here, every person watching online, God, that you would give rest to these tired and exhausted and just, it's too much souls. God, teach us how to be one handful type of people. Teach us to live our lives on purpose. Teach us to recognize our destiny, to focus on the right things, God, not on everything. God, give us the courage to live it out. Give us the courage, Father, not only to evaluate, but also to eliminate the things that don't matter. And Lord, to implement these truths that you put into our lives about what does. And every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. It all begins with a relationship with God. In fact, you can't have any of this message until you've connected with the one who wrote the book on your life. You can't have any of this steps or any of these implementations until you've met the one who created you. Until you've met the one who's designed your life for a purpose, who set that path that you're going to run. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you're far from God today, if you say, well, I'm not even close to him to figure out what this design that he has for me, I don't even have that communication with him. Even if you call yourself a Christian, but you say, God is a million miles away from me. He's not running my life. I'm running my own life. If you're honest with yourself and you say, he's not running it, I'm running it. I'm beginning to run down. It's beginning to be too much. If you're honest with yourself and you say, I'm just far from God, but I'm ready today to surrender. I want to meet the one who has the design on my life. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. That's what salvation really is. Saying, Jesus, you run my life. It's not when you join a church. It's none of that. It's when you say, Jesus, take control. Jesus, save me. So if you want to do that this morning, if you say, I'm ready to make that decision, I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I just want to pray with you. This moment is about connecting you with Jesus. Just want to give you that opportunity. And so that's you this morning. No one else is looking around, but if that's you, you say, I want to make that decision. Pray with me. If you want to make that decision, just slip up your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you want to join them, just slip up your hand right now. Just want to pray with you. No one else is looking around, but you say, I want to make that decision. I want to be close. You want to join those three who slipped up their hands? I just want to pray with you this morning. Thank you in the back. Great job. Best decision you will ever make. Slip your hands down. I just want to pray with you. And I'm going to ask the church, we're going to pray with you. With these four, raise their hand. And if you're watching online and you want to pray this as well, we just want to pray with you, just in a show of support. And I'm going to give you the words, but you got to mean them in your heart. And you say them with your mouth. Confess that he is Lord. This is your chance. It's just you and Jesus. So come on, church, let's pray with those who raise their hand. Come on, let's pray together. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive what you did for me. I accept your gift on the cross. Now say this to him, Jesus, be my Lord. Come live in me. Change me. Help me to live out this life you have for me. Today I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I thank you for every person who prayed that prayer today, God, who made the best decision of their life. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done in lives today, Lord. I thank you that you're going to begin to give peace to lives. Lord, you're going to begin to bring peace to people's hearts. God, that you're going to begin to bring restoration to those who feel broken down. You're going to begin to do the work. Lord, help us to focus on what matters. Help us to put it all aside and to run the race that you have for us. To connect with the God who has a design for our lives. Help us to live it out, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Hey, can you guys put your hands for those who made that decision today? Stand up with me today. We're going to end in worship. We're just going to end in a time of praise and worship. Just lifting him high. So come on, let's sing together. Let's worship together. Let's go out of here just praising our God for who he is and what he's done. Come on, let's worship.